Now, let's just go on. You know, Paul has a way of doing this. I tell you, he's saying one thing, but he puts in a lot of truth. In that verse 17, he said that he's a father of us all, from 16, as it is written, a father of me have made you. He said that faith, all right? Okay, please, I forgot to mention something. Let me just quickly say this. He said, it's by faith that it might be in accordance with grace so that the promise will be guaranteed. I forgot to mention that. I mentioned it, but I didn't read the reference. That the promise might be what? Guaranteed to all the descendants, whether they're Arabs or Americans. You get my point? He said, that's why he said the father of what? Many nations. That whichever one, so that at least the promise is guaranteed towards you. Not only those who are of the law. These are the things I've been saying. He said, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, he said, this is before God, whom he believed. Verse 17, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. King James used the expression, and calls those things that be not as though they were. But they are saying the same thing, because with God, it's the same thing. If God looked at a wall, and he said, God looked at this wall and said, why is this wall black? By the time you turn to confirm, you thought you saw a cream wall. By the time you turned, the wall is already black. Are you getting my point? And so that's why he calls those things that be not as though they were, and indeed they become, or he calls into existence that which did not exist. Before I read on in verse 18, I want you to understand something about Christianity. Paul said this is the height, this is the manifestation of the height of Christianity, that we tap into the power that raises the dead. No, let me go over that again. Look at it, verse 17. It's even God who gives life to the dead. That's something about Christianity you must understand. Christianity is not about, we've been talking about creative power, all right? Christianity is not about, the earth is without form and void, and darkness is over the surface of the deep. Therefore, brethren, we shall go to mass, because the earth is without form and void. Therefore, we shall see how Jupiter is. No, that's not Christianity. The Christianity is that we tap into the power of God that gives life to the dead. We brood over the darkness that is upon the earth and say, light be. That is Christianity. That's why James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of voidness and emptiness. Do you get my point? Because that is where your faith is put to the test. The trial of your faith. I told you that God has, no, for the last many weeks, all that has been going on over in my mind many days is that whole expression, the power of his resurrection. The giving of life to the dead. Oh my God, I can't leave this. You know, I said something before. When Jesus was going to be demonstrated, when he was going to take glory and show that he indeed is one with the Father, you know what he did? It wasn't by manifestation of one special anointing. He told them, Lazarus is not supposed to die. He's my friend. I could raise him up from the sick bed. But let them understand that I have power to give life to the dead. Therefore, we'll go in 2 days' time. No, listen. Go and read it. That's what he did. So by the time he finally went, Lazarus had now died. He now looked at Mary and Martha. He said, did that not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He said, your brother will rise again. They said, we know. On the last days, all of us will rise. You know, I've been telling you that's not what Paul was saying. He said, we know that on the last days, he said, come, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, I hope you can understand this. What Paul was going for was that position he will get to and say, it's not heresy, that he will say, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, it doesn't just come by giving your life to Christ. That is reconciliation. He said, if you have been reconciled, then you will be saved. That the time will come, let me tell you what makes you a believer, that you have the ability to give life to the dead. I said, there are different spheres in life. You will look and say, the businesses are dead in Nigeria. It's a good opportunity for manifestation. He said, before God, whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. He said, this is what we are here for. This is what we are here for. We should give life. Look, listen, as Christians, listen, this is walking below the glory, looking for where it is happening. No, a believer is supposed to make it happen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The thing has died. They said, good. This is what we have been talking about. Jesus said, Lazarus has died. Come and show me where the carcass is. Where have you laid him? He said, by now he'll be smelling. He said, I told you if you believed, you will see the glory of God. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live again. He said, was I on the last? He said, no. He said, right now. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, that's the power of Christianity. I told you that when Paul was talking, he wasn't talking about that I'm attain to resurrection what after I have died. He said, no, I want to attain to the power that gives life to that which has already died. Ever since I read the story of Terry Mize, you heard me share the number of times. Terry Mize walked up. Jackie Mize told Terry, when Terry wanted to marry her, and said, the doctor said I can't have... No, they said, I it's not as if I don't want to marry you. Now, I'm coloring the story, all right? But this is actually the context. It's just that, I can't have children. So if you're marrying me, you're signing up for childlessness. So the guy looked and said, what? Who said that? That's one question you must ask every time in your life. Who told you? He said, we ran because we were naked. Jesus said, God asked, he said, who told you you were naked? Where are you getting your information from now? So the guy asked the hand and said, who told you? He said, the doctor. He said, doctor, forget. Those ones, they don't know anything. Look, God said, I am he that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Are you getting my point? Listen, the woman gave birth to 3 or 4 children for that man. Are you getting what I mean by giving life to what? The dead. Look, Chris, one day I went to a bookshop, as I used to do. I just saw a book, going through one book after the other. They said, childless, but not less. like they say, tufiakwa. Yoruba man will say, Olenka, kamari, ewo. In Yoruba land, we don't do it like this. We believe that if you do it like this, you have thrown it forward, you still meet it there. So we always roll our own, roll it, and it ends at the back, behind. Say, God forbid, bad thing. I saw the book till today. I don't know the author. I didn't even read the first line. I said, don't give me an excuse for Satan. Don't give me an excuse for satanic oppression. I was married then. I didn't have a child. You want me to start explaining to myself? Now, you see, it doesn't matter now. We are still children of God. If before I married, I had revelation that they would disturb, and God said, Banky, just give that one to me. I would have said, okay. But there was nothing like that. Nothing. I desire it. My wife and I coined 2 names for ourselves. You heard of Popsy? For us, it wasn't the way we say it. It was Papa of Plenty Children. P-O-P-C. And for a woman, it was Momsy, Mother of Many Children. Listen. The word becomes flesh. Read that nonsense. Start giving excuses to Satan. Satan, you say, in that book, they told you that you can be effective as a minister. I said, shut up. Paul was effective as a minister, single. I have married. I get to have the full complement of the whole thing. Let me tell you how the world works. Right now, my wife is, I hope I can say this. She said, look, if you touch me again without any divine protection, you get what I'm trying to say here. He said, I'm tired of having children. That is, the word has so worked that it is now, the blessing has chased us up, has overtaken. We are like, God, please slow down, slow down. In the last 3 years, my wife has had a child every year. He said, be fruitful and multiply. It's a blessing, it's an empowerment to bear. What are you talking about? Do you get what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. That is Christianity. Giving what? Life to the dead. One day somebody gave me a book on AIDS, living with AIDS, HIV, this and that. And then when I returned the book to her, She said, a colleague, we were both doctors in the same hospital, you know, a Christian book. So I always read. So I gave her, he said, did you enjoy the book? I just hissed. I said, nonsense book. He said, why? I said, the man died. He said, he wanted him to get healed. I said, yes, that's why I'm a believer. I give life to the dead. What am I reading the nonsense for? He was 30-something, he died. I better get away. Carry your book. Go. I'm a preacher. You want me to come and start and say, brethren, don't worry. Even though you are going to die with your 8, but you still get to heaven. If we die at 90, my father died at 74, he's in heaven. My son will tell you he's in heaven. So why should a 22-year-old boy die? You may as well die at 80 and still get to heaven. What's the hurry? It's eternity, no biso. No, I'm telling you. That day, the girl's name, Kpeju. She said, you just want it. I said, yes, so that's the way I want it. Don't give me stories of the person who was sick and yet God sustained him in all his sickness and he finally died. Do you get the point I'm making? What are we talking about? The Bible said that God that gives life to the dead. That was why one of my friends told me, he said, sir, when my wife read your book, she conceived the next month. The book titled The Law of Life. He said she read the book and that was it. Don't give me no nonsense excuses for, you know, things are rough. Yes, I know. It is called a death situation. As believers, what do? We give life. No, if you see Paul, in Ananias, they understand. That was the center of everything he was trying to do. Listen, everything that Paul did was to make it possible for the rest of us to step into that thing. He said, that which is what is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm filling up, yes. That is, the guy was an effective minister. What he was doing was, no, God, these people have to understand it. God said, you know, if you want to do it like that, you go suffer to tell them. Oh, that's part of the sacrifice of getting them to know. He said, I don't mind. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Please, let's get that point. Now, let me just go on to verse 18. He said, in hope against hope, Abraham believed. He believed so that he might become a father of many nations. Without being weak in faith, verse 19, he contemplated his body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, can you see what I'm saying? We are talking about dead situation. He said, but with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Accepting the status quo is not righteousness. Are you getting my point? That is the way it's always been. It's not righteousness. What is righteousness? Despite the fact that there were dead situations, the man took the promise of God, grew strong in faith with it, and said God is able to perform that which he has promised. God said that's a righteous man. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Please notice something. In verse 18, talking about hope against hope. Hope is an expectation. Hope is when evidence has been presented to you and it creates for you an expectation. It doesn't have to be good. Though most times in the Bible, when we use the word hope, we are referring to good hope. But hope just means we have an expectation. If I throw my glass up and it's coming down concrete floor, I have an expectation that it will break. That's what hope is. It's based on what? Evidence. So, Abraham had two types. One dictated by natural things. One hope. Which says that, what will you give me seeing that I die childless? He said, God said, you will not die childless. That's the promise of God. But your wife will indeed bear you a son. And then he changed his name to Abraham. And then one day God spoke to him by this time next year. And then the Bible said Abraham laughed. Abraham did not laugh in unbelief. Go and get that point. I don't have time to analyze it. Abraham did not laugh as a, God, you must be joking. Abraham laughed out of excitement because the next statement he made was, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. You know what it means? He thought Ishmael was going to die because he understood that the son of the bond servant must not inherit with that of the, you know, of the chosen woman. He understood that. God said, don't worry, Ishmael will not die. He will live. But then for Ishmael to survive, one day he had to leave the house. Are you getting my point? Abraham did not laugh out of doubt. In fact, to tell you that he did not laugh out of doubt, what's the meaning of Isaac? Laughter. You need any other proof? The meaning of Isaac The word Isaac is the Hebrew or whatever language they spoke for laughter. If they were Yorubas, his name would have been what? Eri. No, he didn't laugh out of doubt. That's the proof. Because the name of the son that was born is what? Laughter. What, why? He said, because God has caused me to laugh. You are getting the point I'm making. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you here? All right. So, this is what we are saying. Abraham did not accept the status quo. He realized that things can be changed by the promise of God if we hold to it in faith and we are not wavering in unbelief. Now, we are saying some more things about this contemplated his body. So, I am not going to bother to say it in here. But you remember on Saturday, for those who were around, we started talking about the fact that he contemplated his body. All right? He did not just ignore it. Say, I'm a man of faith. I don't look at the negative side. Abraham dusted it and sniffed out everything that was negative. Having seen it, he now took the promise of God and laid it upon it. And the promise of God won. So you couldn't surprise him. Do you get my point? You couldn't surprise him. But we're not going to talk about that now. If, for anybody who's listening to this, you can get our message, Creative Power number... Creative Power 2. All right? I called it Contemplate the Mess. Look at the nonsense. I want to open a company saying NEPA does not work in Nigeria. I say, very fine. Sit down and check the cost of generating your own power. You contemplate the nonsense. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, that's just the way it works. All right. Now the Bible now said, now, not for his sake only, was it written that it was credited to him, verse 23. He said, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. The Bible says he was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. All right, I'll read after verse 25 into verse 1 of chapter 5. All right, because if you see the way it went from 25, he said, was raised because of our justification. That is, you know, let me just say this to us before I close there. There's one truth that I just realized, well, something we have been discussing here and there, but it will help us if I just explain it again in that verse 25. He said he was delivered or he was killed, that's what he was saying, because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. You know, spiritual things are interesting. Jesus could only be kept dead as long as there is sin. So as soon, like I told you, it's like effective spiritual payment. As soon as payment was complete, he rose up again. There's something about it. That's spiritual things for you. That's how spiritual things work. You know? God created. But the Bible says he has to maintain what he has created by the word of his power. Are you getting my point? Death is energized by sin. So for Jesus to remain dead, sin has to remain. So the proof, now get my point, the proof that we have been reconciled, read that my tract, the resurrection. The proof that we have been reconciled is the fact that he rose again from the dead. Then, what's his name? Peter said like this. He says, seeing that death could no longer hold him in his power. Because the power of death, the sting of death, the Bible says what? Is sin. There was one message I preached last Easter Monday. It fell on, of course, it was Easter Monday. So we're blowing the way of success on Easter Monday. So I interrupted what we're saying. I now preach an Easter message on the resurrection of Christ Jesus. If you did not listen to it then, or you listened to it only once, I recommend you listen to it again. We have it on CD. I can't remember the title now. I think it's the power of resurrection. That's what I called it also. You will understand. I said something there. That Easter is not about the egg. Other one we practice, what do you call it? Easter, Good Friday, and Easter Monday. Listen to me. Jesus did not die on Friday. Neither was he raised on Sunday. I said, Banky, what do you mean? If he died on Friday and was raised on Sunday, that's 2 days and two nights. The Bible said that he will be in the belly of the earth for how many days? 3 days and three nights. I don't have time to prove it. He died on the Wednesday and rose again on a Saturday. He was seen early on Sunday. Okay? But that's not important. The point I want to make is that he rose. That is the point. He rose. That is the point. He rose. That is the point. Whether na evening or me, whether na noon, you know what I mean? On Ethiopian New Year's Day, it doesn't make any difference. He rose, which means that CNN can lie all they want. IMF and the World Bank can conspire to lie to us. There's one magazine I have in the car titled Prospering from Poverty, something like that. They're talking about how the European nations are milking, that is, listen to this, the way they analyzed it, that there was a time they came and forcefully took the best people. They didn't, look, if you were sick, they wouldn't take you as a slave. Are you getting my point? It was strong, healthy, young men and women that they took as slaves. And you had to survive the rigors of the high sea. Are you getting me? He said then they took the strongest Africans and took them over as slaves. But right now, they are taking the sharpest brains and taking them over as slaves. One day, I looked at the... You know, God knows that. If I have to live in one country, it's not UK. No, UK, no. You know my reason. One day, I felt insulted. You know, America was in visa lottery. All right? Then one day, I saw somebody forwarded something to my box about UK, highly skilled immigrant visa. I said, God punish all you people making that policy. What nonsense. JK, if you see the criteria to qualify, you have to get an equivalent of a PhD. Minimum. They have a way of scoring it. Then where you're coming from, you must be earning a particular level of income. By the time they finished, only the best brains who were best suited to develop a nation could take it. As any black man that takes it, he should know that the witchcraft of his mother is pursuing him. No, your mother's witchcraft is pursuing you. Listen, maybe you went abroad. There's no problem with that. I have friends, lovely people abroad. All right? But that you use that highly skilled visa, then apparently you need your brain dissected. They should remove it from you and give to a monkey, because a monkey will do better with that brain than you. Chike, do you get what I'm trying to say? They said that, let me tell you what I'm trying to say. They are trying to say that before you can show up, you must have built about 5 successful companies who are making at least $1 million a year. They said, on top of that, I'm giving as an example, trying to put another light. On top of that, I will now want your highly skilled visa. May God, what kind of rubbish is that? So prospering from poverty, the guy is writing the article, though I don't like his own spirit. His own spirit is that he's blaming the white man for all the African problem. I say, forget. He's not like that. You know, he's not like that. I don't like his own spirit. But the point I mean, I said, when I read that, I said, this is so true. I said, this is so true. Because what this guy was saying essentially is that, look at these guys. There was a time they were using force and chain. They took the best. Now they are using, never know, they take light. Come. The roads here are good. Light. Water they flow. He said, hey. Say, before you come, let me see your brain. Your brain must be the type that could help your country. If you're not the type that can help your country, don't come here. How did I even get there, Sam? I don't even know. What was I saying? It was something to do with this. Okay, that whatever lie they tell, that we are dead. The Bible said the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, I know we are alive. Are you getting my point? If Jesus was raised from the dead, then I am persuaded. My heart is fully, fully persuaded that we are alive. That goodness and mercy will follow us all the days. You know what they call goodness and mercy? You know what's called mercy? Mercy means that even though there's a handwriting that says we should keep down, we should remain down, and it is just to keep us down. Are you getting my point? The Bible says mercy triumphs over what? Judgment. Therefore, we have reason. We are not down. We are followed by what? Goodness and mercy. Let me just explain that to you. If you're a businessman and you've done bad investments, Chike, you're here. Agaya Kene, you're here. Alayanka, you're here. After a bad investment, look at the money you have lost. Say, goodness and mercy will follow me. You know they call goodness and mercy? That is, if I lost $1 million, it means that this business should not grow in the next 1 year. Because of mercy, it will double grow in that 1 year. Anytime something goes wrong, just look and say, goodness and mercy is following me. I like the way Miles Monroe said it. He said, those are angels. There's one angel called goodness, and another very powerful one called mercy. I like the way one apostle said it. He said, those kind of angels that smoke. That kind of angels. You know those kind of angels where they carry cocaine for pockets. when things were rough, so that they would not forget, all right, to kill everybody. They sniff small and say, you won't try this child of God. They bring out their sword. All the enemies really scatter. No, the day one apostle said it, I never forgot. He said, he doesn't want all some nice angels around him. He likes the angels on drugs. I like that expression. The ones that are high with the spirit of vengeance, the vengeance of our God. You know, get my point? They are on those drugs. Yes. It will do great things for us. Oh, God, the Lord is good. All right, so the Bible said that he was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. That's what I'm trying to make. It said, therefore, the very next line, being justified by faith, all right, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction into this grace, that is by faith, into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Let me tie this and then I leave it. Because I said this thing has to be read together. Paul said, all have sinned and come what? Short of what? The glory of God. That is, sin separated us, therefore we didn't have glory anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God told Moses, he says, say to Aaron and to his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You will say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. He said, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He said, when you pray for them like that, you will have invoked my name upon them, and that way I will bless them. You know what it means? That is, they have peace with God. That's what I'm explaining. The Lord make his face. Because if you read through the law, you will see that what usually happens is that they'll say, God, Isaiah said that, I will seek God who has hidden his face from Israel. That is, when they're having problems, it's because God's face is hidden. So the prayer for them is that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. What am I going to say? He said, when you call upon, when you bless them like that, I will bless them in turn. That is, you have invoked my name, therefore I will bless them. So what he's saying, he said, now we have been reconciled. Because we have been justified by faith, he said, we now have what? That peace with God. That is, the face of God is constantly shining upon us. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That's what Paul was trying to explain. He said, because of that, we exalt, that is, we rejoice, knowing that that glory that sin made us short of is coming back into our life. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. These things are real. Listen. When I was reading that article, and they said that it's a white man that plundered Africa. Africa was developed. I said, hey, shut up. What nonsense Africa was developing is that? I'm not saying the white man is a saint, but don't lie that you were developing. He said the first university in the world was in Timbuktu. So? The first was in Timbuktu. By the time the white man came, how many was in the whole of Africa? The first shall be the last. Apparently, the first university became the last university. Is that not so? Now, I'm trying to bring out something. There is a reason why the African man went down. I read that article. The magazine is called The New African. I read it. I said, this is not necessary. All this fighting the white man as if it's the cause of your problem. The Europeans, they came, they plundered Africa. After they finished plundering Africa, now they are plundering our young people. Your young people used to kill in LAK Crescent. Like if they didn't get the visa, they would die. Is that not so? Don't blame the white man. It is because it was said, this one shall serve the other. It's a curse. Do you follow my point? And those who did the work of those who invoked the curse or who brought about the curse, they are tapping into the curse. He said, a servant of servants they will be. That's the spiritual genesis of you read all the stories you like, analyze the ways by which IMF did this. The basic thing is that the destiny was what? A servant of servants he will be. But again, Paul said, that was then. This is now. That was what? Then. This is what? Now. That now we have been reconciled. Therefore, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, nobody is buying my destiny from some extra change. Nobody. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I rejoice knowing that that is happening.
My brethren, we'll continue from Romans chapter 5 next time. Let us give God thanks.